Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today's episode is a little bit different. It doesn't even have a hack. But I think you're going to really dig it. Actually, I know you're going to dig it. It's something new I'm trying. Since starting the show, I've been offered many times to have guests back on the show because they have a new book or a new product or something they would like to promote and get in front of my audience. And I've said no up until now. But today, that changes. Let's do it. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest has spent the past 20 years in digital marketing, consulting for more than 700 companies during that period, including 30 of the Fortune 500. His current company, Convince and Convert, is the fifth multi-million dollar company he has started from scratch. He is also the only guest to revisit this show, and you're going to be very happy that he did. He has spent the past 13 months researching and writing his latest book that is being released today, at least the day that this episode is published. I had the pleasure of receiving a copy a couple months ago, and I found it an excellent, excellent marketing book. But I didn't expect that because it was called Hug Your Haters. It is called Hug Your Haters. And my guest, he explains it better than I would, so I'm going to let him do that for you. Now, let's hack Jay Baer and his new book, Hug Your Haters. Today's sponsor of Hack the Entrepreneur is Audible.com. Do you love books but find that you never have time to read them? Well, Audible is absolutely the perfect solution for you. With Audible.com, you can get audiobooks and listen to those books that you've been meaning to read while on the go. At the gym, during your commute, Audible.com provides over 180,000 titles from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. In fact, I was just flying from Toronto back home, and I had an hour and I think 36 minutes. Hour and 36 minutes. In an hour and 33 minutes, I listened to Seth Godin's The Dip, that book that I talk about all the time on this show. I've read it, I'm going to say seven times I've read it, but it's narrated by Seth Godin. Listening to Seth Godin narrate it himself, it takes it to a whole nother level. And if you haven't read The Dip, which I've told you so many times, and I don't blame you because it's hard to read when you're busy. So audible.com/hack is the place you need to go right now to listen to The Dip narrated by Seth Godin. Because just for listeners of Hack the Entrepreneur, audible.com is offering a free 30-day trial membership. Go to audible.com/hack today to start your free trial. Again, show your support for Hack the Entrepreneur and get a free 30-day trial at audible.com/hack. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have a very, very, very special guest. A very special guest because this is the first time I've ever had a guest back on the show, and I still mention his first episode way too often in life and on the show because it really had an impact on me. So Jay, welcome to the show.
John, I don't even know what to say. I didn't realize that I was the one and only repeat guest on Hack. That means an awful lot to me. And thank you for the kind words. And I really appreciate the chance to talk to you again and to your fantastic audience.
Awesome. I think it's going to be a blast. And I didn't want to tell you in advance. You know, I thought I'd just throw that on.
No, that's a lot. Dude, that's a lot of pressure. I've done a couple podcasts in the last month or so talking about this new book, but that's a lot of pressure. Like, I got to bring it. I got to bring both barrels to this episode.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make some stuff up. I mean, it doesn't even matter if it's true at this point. We got
it
a high
bar. It worked the first time when you did that.
That's right.
All right, Jay. So we're here to talk about your book.
Yeah.
Because I had the pleasure of, in December sometime, so a couple months ago, getting a copy of it from you. And I didn't read it. It didn't get to my Kindle for a couple of weeks just because I always have a backlog. And then when I got into it, I had one sort of idea about it, and then my mindset sort of shifted. about the book and about what the book was teaching. So as a question that I do typically ask now mid-interview, I want to start here with you because you've already answered those other ones. But as a project, the first thing when I first heard from you and then heard about the book and the title, I was kind of like, it struck me in a weird way, as in I didn't immediately see how it fit into your existing business. Mm-hmm. So I would love to know just like the thought process that you went through to determine that Hug Your Haters should be the next move for you and you as the front of Convince and Convert.
Yeah, that's a really astute observation, John, because it is a little different. I mean, people know me as a marketing guy, and I don't shirk from that title. I've been a marketing consultant for 20 years and written 4 books about marketing. But what I discovered actually in the consulting side of our business, working with big companies on marketing and social and content and all that, is that increasingly we were having these inflection points, this friction between marketing and customer service. And people are saying, well, how do we handle that in a reactive fashion, in a proactive fashion? And there's just all this kind of angst and drama and confusion about both sides of that equation. And I realized that customer service is being disrupted in the exact same ways that marketing has been disrupted, and for the same reasons. Mobile, millennials, social media, it's the same playbook. There are approximately 500 books about marketing disruption. There are approximately 0 books, now 1, about customer service disruption. And so I thought, you know what? Yeah, I can help people get more customers, and I've got books about that and a consulting firm that does that. But what if I could also help people keep the customers they've already earned? Doesn't that give me not a smaller canvas and a different canvas, but a much larger canvas, because everybody has customers? Not everybody wants to do content marketing, although they should, but everybody has customers, large, small, US, international, B2B, B2C. And so as a speaker and an author and what I believe to be a translator, like I don't invent new ideas. I discover ideas and translate them for a larger audience. As a professional translator of ideas, I thought, you know, this is actually a much bigger story to tell. And that got me really excited. And then as it turns out, John, simultaneously, Daniel Lemon, who is the senior strategist on my team at Convince and Convert, was working on his own book, his first book called Manipurated, which was all about kind of the dirty underbelly of the ratings and reviews industry. So very complementary in some effects, and certainly in the same kind of lane. And so I thought, well, geez, if he's working on this and I'm working on this and we're getting asked all these questions as consultants, there must be a there. And that's how this happened. But, and we can talk about this in a minute, this is not the book I set out to write. I planned to write a totally different book, but ended up writing this book.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you had kind of hit the point in your business where you decided it was time to write another book. And
yeah, you kind of have to, right? I mean, if you're going to speak all the time, and it's just like, I've written about this before on my blog, that the speaking business, which is about half of my personal time and a little less than a third of our revenue, is the exact same business as the music business, right? You don't make any money on records the same way you don't make any money on books. You make all your money on touring the same way you make all your money on speaking. And you have to have a new album to tour behind every couple of years, the same way you have to have a new book to tour behind every couple of years. It's the same dynamics.
Wow. Wow. I come from music and the music business and traveling in a band. I've never made that correlation.
It's the exact same. And you start off speaking for free, and then you speak for beer, and then you speak for $50 in your buddy's basement. And then you get a workshop, and then a bigger one, and then you're a keynote, and then you double your fee and double your fee and double your fee. Until you sort of get to where I am, or you know, people who are well above where I am in this business, but it is the same exact ladder progression.
Wow, I love it. I love, because when I all of a sudden when I have now this analogy sort of or metaphor in my head, it makes perfect sense now. I see what I have to do next all of a sudden. Wow, thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, you just replace one media format with the other.
Yeah. So what was the original book?
Okay. So. All the things I told you are accurate about customer service disruption.
Right.
But my premise was that disruption is rooted in speed, that response time is the killer differentiator, that if you are faster than your competition, you will be better. And that's true for big companies. It's true for entrepreneurs. It's true for startups. It's true for everybody. And that was my thesis. And so unlike almost all business books and certainly most customer service books that are essentially a collection of anecdote and advice, Jay has an idea. You trust Jay. Therefore, you should read this book and follow that advice. I thought, you know what? I want more than that, especially in a book about customer service, because people already think they're good at customer service. And so I said, I'm going to put this thesis to the test. So I spent an ungodly amount of money on legitimate, massively detailed research. I hired Edison Research, which is one of the country's most respected attitude collection firms, and we put this thesis to the test. How important is speed? And what we found, John, was totally shocking and became a totally different book. What we found is that speed is important, but it is not the most important. The most important is just showing up. We found that a third of all customer complaints are ignored now, totally ignored, never answered. And most of those that are ignored are somewhat paradoxically online and in public, where everybody can see you being, you know, ignoring your customers. And so we found that the biggest opportunity for business people and entrepreneurs today is not necessarily being faster, although it is important. It's just being more responsive. It's in being in more places. And that's why the book became Hug Your Haters, whereas the original book was going to be, you know, 43 minutes or something like that, which is the amount of time you have to respond. That was the original idea of the book, all about speed. The data told me a different story, so I wrote a different book.
Wow. That was one of my questions, was going to be if the data did, because I was really, really fascinated by the fact that you partnered up with Edison, or hired Edison, I guess, to do this research to either validate or invalidate your original idea. And so is the reason that most of us, or that most, I'm going to say, complaints don't get responded to, is that because we are taught all the time by marketers and by content marketing and everyone to just ignore the haters? Haters are going to hate.
Yep.
Ignore those people. Then as I was reading your book, going through, it's just one after the other example of like, here's somebody that typically would just get ignored. But if you just quickly give them something to like sink their teeth into in a good way, they'll love you. And they'll not only do that, but then they're going to go out and actually rave about you to other people.
Yeah. And it's not just anecdote, right? It's mathematically proven. We found in the data that one answer to a customer complaint can increase customer advocacy by as much as 25%. And you think about that at scale, like that has a considerable and meaningful impact on your business. And that's why I wanted to talk to you so much, is that if you're a small company, like you've got to get this sorted out right now. If you're an entrepreneur and starting up, like the time to embrace customer service and customer experience as your differentiator is now, because I got to tell you firsthand, once you get bigger and you say, well, now we feel like we should get good at customer service, man, unscrambling that omelet is way harder. It's way harder to shift once you're already bigger than it is to say from Jump Street, we are going to be the best, most responsive organization in this category, whatever that category may be. That's a competitive differentiator. And I'll tell you how I know that, John. If I ask you right now, if I ask every listener, close your eyes for a second, and I'm going to say, who's really good at online customer service? You can name two or three companies, and you can name them like that. Why? Because they're so rare. They are exceptional in the true sense of that word, meaning they are exceptions. That's how I know it is a competitive differentiator, because you can come up with them off the top of your head. And my vision for this book is that 18 months from now, enough people have read this book and put into practice the thesis of Hugging Your Haters, that when I ask you who's great at online customer service, you can't name anybody, because so many companies are good at it that it no longer stands out. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. And I love how you specifically say for people with smaller businesses, because I mean, I try and encourage people to even embrace the smallness of your business. Don't try and hide it and act bigger.
It's such an opportunity. In customer service, it's a huge advantage because you're closer to the customer, right? There's not all these layers. Yeah. You can, my friend Sterling Ball, who I wrote about in Utility, who owns Ernie Ball Guitar Strings and has a side business running Big Papa Smokers, which is a barbecue and smoker supply business online. He's a huge, huge, huge proponent of online discussion boards and forums, because he says it allows him to get so close to his customers that he can smell them. And that is the true small company advantage, right? You have a familiarity with your customers and their needs that, trust me, you lose as you get bigger. So take advantage of it. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Is there something besides just reacting quickly? I know that people often get worried about reacting to, or responding, I should say, to a complaint, especially on social media, and then having it sort of blow up even bigger. I think the idea, isn't the idea that we ignore it and hopefully it'll just go unnoticed?
Right. That seems to be the premise, but it's not. It doesn't just get ignored typically, because everybody can see. Look, Dave Kirpin, who's a terrific entrepreneur and author of several books, I interviewed him for Hug Your Haters, and he had a great quote, one of my favorites in the whole book, that says, you have to understand that no response is a response. No response is a response that says, we don't care about you very much. And that's how it's interpreted. So every time you're like, well, I'm just going to kind of whistle past the graveyard on this one, everybody who's watching sees you do that. See, the big disruption here in the way that customer service is being disrupted is that customer service is a spectator sport now. And it didn't used to be the case. I mean, business had it pretty easy for like 100 years, where every time you interacted with an unhappy customer, it was in private. It was one-to-one. It was a postal letter or a telegraph or a face-to-face meeting or a call or an email, right? That's pretty easy sledding. Now, increasingly, when people are unhappy, they let the whole world know about it. And every time you're like, ah, I'm going to blow that off because I don't want to make it worse, you are actually making it worse because everybody can see that you're choosing to ignore them.
Right, right. And then it can like exacerbate. And then I also like how, because I'm the type of person, I know in your book, it's mentioned how the one person complains on Yelp and you don't respond. And I'm the type of person who typically, I don't think anything's ever been worse enough that I've gone on to social media and complained about it. But I definitely read those reviews all the, like, I don't go to a restaurant in a new city without reading a Yelp reviews.
Why would you? Why would you play dining roulette like that? Like, what's the upside to the restaurant page? Ah, I don't care. I'll give it a shot. That's crazy.
And I think that's the scale that I missed before. I missed the scale of the fact that I'm responding to one person one-to-one. It's hard to scale that. It's like, well, no, I scaled that because 10,000 people might literally see that over the next year and put me in a
good
light.
There's no such thing as one-to-one online. It doesn't exist unless it's a private message. It doesn't, it just, and you raise a great point about review sites, because review sites and discussion boards in particular have huge ongoing impact. Because they never go away. Like a Facebook page and a Facebook post and a comment exchange, you know, will stay on the page, but it'll get hidden. You know, tweets are pretty ephemeral, those kind of things. But ratings and reviews and discussion board posts show up in Google results forever. Forever. Like it could be years and years and years and somebody sees this exchange or lack thereof. So there is no atomic half-life to those kind of exchanges. So it does create a lot of downstream opportunities.
And so a business owner's listening, small business owner probably.
I hope so.
They have a complaint on Yelp about their business. How should we approach it? So she wants to go, or she sends her assistant to go and respond to it. Should it be so like selfishly done in the fact that you're trying to like obviously be so great, or do you know what I mean? Like, how should we approach this so that it's human and so that it is effective?
So the first thing is to just take a deep breath and wait. We want to be fast, but we don't want to be knee-jerk. You want to let it settle for just a little bit, because this is especially important advice for small business and entrepreneurs, is that it is really, really easy to take it personally. It's typically not personal, but it's easy to take it personally, because when you're a small business owner, as I am, you know, if somebody complains, you sort of feel like somebody's saying your baby's ugly, and nobody likes to hear that. And so one of my favorite parts of the book actually is we interviewed some psychiatrists and said, hey, what happens to your brain chemistry when you are confronted with negativity? And it's amazing. Like your whole mentality changes. It triggers essentially a fight or flight response. So that's why in some cases you see people, you know, responding to negativity online in a way that makes it way, way worse. Right? They just freak out and how dare you? Da, 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 da. And so you don't want to get into that scenario, certainly. So you want to give it a second, let it sink in. The other thing that I have a real challenge with is people tend to blame the customer. This is especially true for small business as well. There's this sort of pervasive sense that, well, that customer must be lying, or that customer is a bad customer. If that's the way they feel about us, we never wanted their business anyway. And that's a dangerous game to play with your business, to say, look, anybody who doesn't agree with us 100% of the time is not money that we want. That's not a good philosophy, but I got to tell you, I see it all the time, all the time. Then when you actually get into the response, you should respond to every complaint in every channel, every time in public, per the advice in the book. And you should make it as personal and prescriptive as possible. It is easy to rely on copy and paste when you have to do this at scale. And the good thing about small businesses, they don't usually have enough instances of negativity where they have to rely on copy and paste. So try to actually address the human as a human and sign it so they know that it's a real person, not a representative of the company. And then don't get sucked into a negative vortex, right? My rule of reply only twice is perhaps the best advice in the whole book, which is you should never, ever, 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 ever reply to a customer more than twice online in any circumstance.
Wow. I love that. And you're right. So without being, I guess, copy and pasting to people, because then I mean, they can see it somewhere else. And
yeah.
So what about this idea of taking it, because I see lots of people doing this, and it was in your book as well, of taking it off of social media into mm-hmm. private as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. They'll email me at. Mm-hmm. Is that a good response without anything else included?
So here's the playbook on that. If you're going to what we call channel shift and move somebody from well, really anywhere to anywhere else, it's okay under these circumstances. One, if you are changing channels because you generally need to have a more nuanced conversation, or because you need to collect somebody's account number or something else that you don't want out there in private, it's fine to do that. However, typically what happens in the real world is that companies channel shift because they want to sweep negativity under the rug. That's not a good enough reason. Recognize that the customer chose this channel because that's the channel they prefer. It's not an accident. It's not like they just drew names out of a hat and said, oh, Twitter, oh, Facebook. Like they picked that channel because that's the channel that they prefer. You have to respect that at some level. It is okay, however, to shift channels, but never on the first response. So the way this works in practice is somebody complains, you apologize, we're sorry, we'd like to, you know, learn more information, tell me a little bit more. They come back and answer again, and they rant and rave a little bit. And then you say, okay, I kind of understand where you're coming from, but it would be better if we could actually talk about this in a little more comprehensive way. Would it be okay if you called me at or emailed me at? And then you can channel shift because you really do need to dig into it a little bit. But you should never offer a channel shift in the first response, because what happens in the real world in many cases is people already started there, right? Somebody called and it was going to be 42 minutes on hold. So now they're double mad. Then they go to Facebook and complain. And the first thing they see on Facebook is, please call us. And you're like, bro, I just got off the phone. The last thing I want to do is call back, right? And it just drives people insane. So never offer that opportunity until at least the second reply.
I love it. And the whole, they started on that channel for a reason. It's their choice, and you have to, it's really, I mean, not being selfish, right? I mean, thinking literally empathetically about them and their situation right now, not just like, well, we got to protect ourselves and get us off of here. Do you also suggest, as you go through this and you're responding and you're on their channel, and then you're keeping that sort of human aspect to it, do you suggest keeping track of all of these complaints and using them to, say, shift or enhance your product or service?
100%. 100%. In fact, certainly there is a core economic reason to hug your haters, which is that, as proven in the book by the data, when you answer a customer complaint, it increases customer advocacy every time and in every channel, right? So you are building customer loyalty literally every time you answer a problem, always. So that pays off in the future. There's no question about that. But the companion reason to do this is that it just makes you better. And John, the most overrated thing in business, actually the most overrated thing in life, is praise. Every time somebody says, John, you're great at this, John, you're great at that, I love the show, this and that, it makes you feel terrific, of course. But it doesn't actually teach you anything, because in most cases, you already know what you're good at. What makes you better is negative feedback and criticism. That's the petri dish for improvement. One of my favorite examples in the book is from Le Pain Quotidien, and they're a chain of bakeries and cafes. They're based in Belgium. They've got a bunch of locations in the northeast of the U.S. and also in Southern California. And when their director of customer experience started there 2 years ago, she said, here's my goal. My goal is to triple the number of complaints that we get. Triple the number of complaints, which is the exact opposite of what most people would say, because she understands that every complaint, every time she can encourage a customer who had less than 100% perfect experience to say something, they can actually do something about it. Right? The dangerous customers are not the haters. The dangerous customers are what I call in the book the meh in the middle, the people who are dissatisfied and just leave and you never heard from them again. That's what kills businesses. Haters are your most important customers, and I mean that. They are your most important customers, but we treat them like our least important customers, and we have it totally backwards.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. The meh. I had to laugh at that part, and it was so true.
I mean, people are like, what happened to Larry? He doesn't come in anymore. No, he's the meh in the middle. He just poof, gone.
Love you or hate you. Don't let them be meh. And the idea of, because everybody so much focuses and they don't even necessarily do it, but they want to and they talk about it. Ask, right? Ask and do surveys of your customers. And then also at the same time, ignore everything they're saying hateful about you. It's like, they're already answering you. They're telling you so truthfully right now. That's what I really got from the book was...
It's free market research.
It's there, exactly. And it doesn't have to be set up. It doesn't have to look nice. It's there. And it's so useful and to learn to where you should go and also to really gain that loyal base of people out there.
A lot of it is to audit all the different places where you interact with customers and say, let's make a list of every place that we interact with customers, online, offline. And then let's find a way to nudge customers to provide feedback at each of those places, at each of those intersection points. What typically happens is that people don't collect feedback at all, or they have a survey, quote unquote. And at some point during the customer relationship, they send an email with a link to a survey. And some customers fill it out, not very many, but some. So they figure that their job is done. But that's not really doing the job. That's not really aggressively soliciting feedback to make yourself better. So what you want to do is say, where are all the other places that we can nudge customers? What Le Pain Quotidien does is they actually train, you know, the counter staff and the waitresses to every time they interact with a customer, hey, I hope you're having a great experience here. And if it's anything less than perfect, please go here and let us know. I mean, it's a verbal ask over and over and over.
I love it. So Jay, when did you start writing Hug Your Haters? How long ago? Do you know?
I know, but I'm trying to like block it out. I think I have like PTSD from writing every time I write a book, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. And then of course, you know, you realize like you have to, and you're like, all right, back up on the horse.
You have to.
So I did the research a year ago. So 13 months ago, January of 2015 is when we conducted the research. Mm-hmm. And then we shifted the research based on the early findings that I talked about a moment ago. And then started writing it for real, doing the interviews and stuff like May of last year. Finished it in late summer. And then, of course, it takes the publishers, you know, for reasons I don't fully understand, like 6 months to print a book. I don't exactly know what's going on there, but that's how it works.
That's awesome. So in 13 months, how much as either percentage or as seconds, if you have that, but what has your response time as Convince and Convert selling products or services to people? What's the response time changed since you've uncovered this research, written Hug Your Haters, and then implemented it fully into your own business?
So what's fascinating about that is we were always really responsive. It was just sort of part of our culture. And I adopted that as a differentiator like 20 years ago when I first started in business, you know, back in the, you know, early 90s, first started getting involved in the internet business. And back then, and to some degree now, people in the internet business were really unresponsive, right? If you call somebody and need a website, they get back to you in like 2 weeks. And I'm like, well, that's crazy. What if I just answered everybody's phone call the day it was received? And so that's always been one of my systems. And we've always been really, really fast at phone and email and social. I'd say the one thing that we've done differently since we wrote the book is that idea of working harder, right? Of looking harder. So we've always been really good at handling direct inquiries. And if somebody tags us, things like that. But when you pay a little more attention, you realize that there's lots of other mentions of me and the company in places that aren't overt, but sort of, you know, sort of halfway mentions, that you can go out and find those and answer there. And the exact same thing I say will happen in the book has happened. They're like, oh, I can't believe you were listening. That's amazing. It has this huge impact on people because they didn't expect you to answer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. All right, Jay, I think you've officially sold everybody listening a book.
Good. I hope so.
Now's the chance, if you could. Tell them specifically where they can go find the book and what they'll get sort of in short in it.
So the book is going to change the way you think about customer service. I think my favorite stat in the book is not from me, it's from Forrester. It says that 80% of businesses think that they deliver superior customer service and 8% of their customers agree. So the hard part about writing a book on customer service is that people are like, well, why would I need that? I already do good customer service. And then you read this book, as I think you had this experience, John, you realize that you're not nearly as good as you thought you were and that you have tons of opportunities to actually treat customer service as the new marketing. And I hope everybody will do so. The book is available all the places and ways that books are available these days, online, offline, you know, airports, local bookstores, etc. There's an audiobook read by me and with a foreword by Tom Webster from Edison. And then if you go to hugyourhaters.com, which is the official site for the book, you'll see there's all kinds of special bonuses there. You can get the official I Love Haters socks, which is pretty spectacular. You can get invites to the exclusive Hug Your Haters Facebook group, which is already like the number one place for customer service and customer experience discussions online. All kinds of different cool stuff. Just go to hugyourhaters.com. check it out, buy some books, send me your receipt, and I'll hook you up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hugyourhaters.com. I'll link to that in the show notes when you're done working out, walking, driving, whatever it is you're doing right now. Jay is also Jay Bear, I believe, on Twitter.
I am.
Awesome.
And indeed. One thing I forgot to tell you. Let me plug one other thing. I don't think you got this because you got the early copy of the book, but every copy of the book includes a poster inserted into the book called The Hatrix. And The Hatrix is all the data on who complains where and why and the different types of haters and how to handle them and all that. So you can actually pull the poster out of your book, put it on your desk, put it on your wall, and refer back to it again and again. So I'm really excited to do that. You don't see that in most business books. I'm glad my publisher let me do it. So you also get a free poster with every book, which is cool.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that because that was something that really stuck out. The Hatrix is one of the greatest names for a poster ever.
Credit to Tamsin Webster, who is a genius. She's awesome. Tom's wife, she's a speaking coach at Iradium. And so she came up with the title, The Hatrix.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I fully 100% endorse the book. I read it. It changed my perspective on it. And just that idea of treating customer service as the new marketing. That was what got me. That's really what grabbed me. And I never thought of it in that way. And it sort of transformed the way I think about it. And I know it will for you out there listening too. So once again, Jay, thank you so very much for stopping by. Hugyourhaters.com is the website. Go grab your copy now. And until next time, Jay, maybe you'll be the first person to ever be here for the third time too.
That may require me writing yet another book. So we're going to give it a little time, but I would be honored to be back again, John. Thank you so much for your time. And I appreciate the attention of your awesome audience.
My pleasure. Take care. Jay, thank you so much for joining me today. I really, really do appreciate it. And I think that went pretty well. You out there listening, I would love to hear from you because I get offered this a fair bit. And there's no way I'm not going to start taking it very often. But if there's certain people that are doing something that I think could really benefit you and your business, I kind of want to be able to bring it to you. So I would love your feedback on it. Obviously, this is the very first one, so I can get more polished. I can get better, you know, like Johnny style. But we had to start somewhere. And I want to see if I could actually work in, maybe get like a hack out of it too. But we just rolled with this one, Jay and I. And I thought it was a good thing to try. But yeah, let me know what you think. Let me know if you'd like it maybe labeled like book show or book review or something. It wasn't really a book review, though. We really just discussed marketing from helping your customer, like from a customer service perspective, right? Which I think is really, really interesting about this. And especially, I love small, fast, independent businesses, right? That's what I'm all about. I mean, that's just what I'm into. I mean, I dig fast, independent music. I dig fast, independent businesses. And so I love that Jay said that. I mean, this is for you. This is for us who have these quick businesses, because those big old companies, they have a hard time adapting to this, but we can do this and we can really build up a base of fans doing this. And I love that part of it. And that's what I really got out of the book. But I would like to know what you think of this. And yeah, I don't know. It was a blast. And I'm really glad that we got to spend this time together. I don't have a hack for you. Although Jay said some, I couldn't find a way to really fit it in properly. But it was a blast. I'm going to put in the show notes for you. I will link to, obviously, Hug Your Haters, but it's hugyourhaters.com. So you don't really need a link for me, but I'll drop it there in case you are driving or walking or running, whatever you're doing. But I'm also going to put a link to Jay's original episode, or just go to whatever search engine you use and Hack the Entrepreneur Jay Bear, because Jay is still, it's in the top 10 for popular. And it was the one episode where, when I did his original show, Jay's a smart dude, and he said something to me that completely made me speechless and dumbfounded me, which, as you know, doesn't happen very often. I like to talk. I enjoy it. But he did, and we went kind of deep. It was cool. It was hard. It was still actually quite early on, I think, in Hack the Entrepreneur. So I wasn't the polished pro that I am today. Oh, man, I should be quiet. That's what I should do. All right. This has been a blast. Thank you so much for joining me. I really, really do appreciate it. Check out Jay's book. I really do think it's a great view into marketing and customer service in 2016. So check it out if you can. Grab it on Kindle. All right. That's all for me. Thank you very much. And again, until next time, please Keep hacking the entrepreneur.